Yes, equality. Let's all be the same. Let's open the floodgates. Let's give away our nationality that our ancestors worked so hard for. It's only the concept of equality, the beautiful concept of absolute human sameness, that can allow this to happen. And so if you want to fight Islam, you have to hit it at the core. And the core is this egalitarian concept, fronted by diversity, inclusion. It installs into the hearts of those who believe it a revenge complex. People who believe that all white people are responsible for all atrocity and repression in the past, and therefore must give up their nationality as payment for their atrocities. In the simplicity of this worldview lies its charm. It's so easy to understand. It puts a split right down the middle. You're either with these people or against them. You're either an anti-racist or a racist. These people, like a clique, spread themselves throughout our society. They aim at positions in journalism, governments, inside the organs of influence, inside media, politics, education especially, moulding the minds of our children. And once they get in there, they burrow themselves in deep like ticks. Like an aggressive cancer, they spread themselves. These people must be expurgated from our schools, from our media, like venom from a snake bite, taken out. You cannot help them. You cannot change them.
True diversity comes from the realization that we are all different, and that these differences is what makes the world beautiful, makes it a beautiful place to live in. The different seasons, the different colors, the different grasses, the different birds, thousands and thousands of species of birds. If there was just seagulls around, it would be quite boring. If we were all one gray blob, our life would be boring. Why would we travel? If Italy wasn't Italy, why would we travel to Italy? You're a nationalist because you understand these things to be true. You're a nationalist because you oppose this globalization, communist, one world, one nation, one people, fake reality. You're a nationalist because you're a realist, because you understand that we all have these differences. It doesn't make one group better than the other, per se. But it just means that in order to preserve the beauty of the world, pushing us all together is not going to make that a thing, not going to make peace come. We have to work in the confines of nature, and nature says that we're different, and we're beautiful in our differences. I'm this way because I am, and that's a great thing. And you are the way that you are because of the way that the earth made you. You're a nationalist because you understand that all of the diverse peoples of the earth have a right to a positive self-actualizing, self-realization, and a deep-rooted sense of identity, sense of belonging. That each people has a right to their own self-actualization, their own destiny. And what this means is a Japanese Japan, an English England, and a Tibetan Tibet. What this means is that each of us has this identity, has a homeland, and has our own sense of belonging. And a true cooperation, a true international cooperation between the races, between the nations, can only come when we realize this truth, when we realize that we are different. That doesn't mean that we can't work together, but it means that we have to realize these differences.
So the question is, how do we maintain true diversity? Think of it this way. If you take all the colors and mix them into one, it becomes a blah, yucky color. But if you keep the colors separate, they are vibrant and unique. In order for all people in the world to remain unique, it requires separation. And the truth is, the majority of people want to be with people who are like them. When I go to Japan, I want to see Japanese people, or Polish in Poland. It's because they've been separate that they've become a distinct group, with their own culture and look. It's the isolation which has allowed them to form a harmonious group identity and flourish. Their ethnicity, culture, and spirituality are all intertwined, part of a whole that makes up the nation. The world is made up of unique, separate nations. A nation is a tribe of people who share ancestry, history, and culture. Each distinct tribe with their own language, ethnicity, and customs makes up the world's diversity. That is a wonderful thing. It is true diversity. So the next time someone tells you, a white person, that you need diversity, say, no thanks. We have all the diversity we need.
Black people must do something for themselves and not always beg white people to move in the neighborhoods, but clean their own neighborhoods. And another thing, when you say integration, it comes under intermarriage too, right? All
right.
Been together.
Right, sure.
And I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters and in return introducing their grandchildren as half-brown, kinky-haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would. No, it's just the point.
What I'm trying to say is this. You don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't going to have it. You're on the show, and you got to say that.
No, that's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you, you see.
Yeah, we much different.
I think society's made us different.
You know we're different. And we're all together.
But society's
different.
Made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, no, we're just human beings. He made all of us.
We all, listen, blue birds fly with blue birds. Red birds want to be with red birds. Listen. Tell me when I'm wrong. Pigeons want to be with pigeons.
But
tell me when
I'm wrong.
Well, we should have. They don't have intelligence, but yet they stay together. We should have more intelligence than them, right? Buzzards are with buzzards. Bluebirds are with bluebirds. They all are birds, but they've got different cultures. The eagles like to hang out in the mountains. The buzzards like to fly around the desert.
Well, the bluebird
like to fly around the trees and the grass.
There'd be certain problems, a buzzard mating with a sparrow, wouldn't there?
What?
There'd be certain...
Right. And that's, we have the problems, too.
I don't see
no black and white couples in England or America walking around proud holding their children.
That's because society...
And going out.
That's society's fault. I mean, we've got to educate people around it.
Well, life is too short for me to be raised catching hell for something like that. I'd rather go and be my own. I have a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife. They look like me. We're all happy, and I don't have no trouble. I ain't that much in love with no woman to go through all that hell. Ain't no one woman that good. You understand?
I understand. Yeah, I do understand. I understand. I think it's sad that
it ain't sad because I want my child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I want to blot out my race and lose my beautiful identity. Chinese love Chinese. They love the little slanted eyed, pretty brown skinned babies. Pakistanis love their culture. Jewish people love their culture. A lot of Catholics don't want to marry a number of Catholics. They want the religion to stay the same. Who want to spot up yourself and kill your race? You a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. No woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last is a white woman, can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. And you can't take no Chinese man and give him no Puerto Rican woman and holler about we in love and you emotionally in love and physically, but really they're not happy because she's going to hear some Puerto Rican music, he's going to hear some Chinese music. And they're going to be clashing all the time. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own. I love my people. That's all. I don't hate nobody.
I don't want my children and my grandchildren to become a minority in the nation that their ancestors built. They're likely to become a despised and hated minority. at the way people are being indoctrinated now, to think that whites are responsible for everything that's ever gone wrong for non-whites anywhere in the world, any time in history. Just as in Israel, Israelis have a right to maintain a Jewish minority. In Japan, the Japanese have the right to maintain a Japanese majority. It's the same for Nigerians. It's the same for practically every non-white country. It's only France, for example. If the French wish to remain a majority, they're somehow hateful. Likewise, what is wrong with white Americans wanting their people, European stock, to remain a majority in the United States? We'd never voted to be dispossessed. We never voted to be swapped out and replaced by another people. This, to me, is a great injustice. What is happening in the United States today is a peaceful invasion, a non-military invasion, which white Americans have the power to stop, but have been psychologically disabled and are unable to say, no, sorry, this is a country that our ancestors built for us, and we wish you well, but you must flourish in your own countries. Whites are unable to say that, and if and unless they are able to retrieve that capacity, they will be essentially shoved aside by others who have a very vivid sense of their own demographic destiny and will reduce us to a minority. And the same thing is happening in all white countries at a greater or lesser rate.
You watch those nature documentaries on the cable?
Yeah.
See the one about lions?
Yeah.
This lion, he's the king of the jungle. Huge mane out there. He's laying down under a tree. He's so big. He's so hot. He doesn't want to move. Now, the little lion comes. They start messing with him. Biting his tail, biting his ears. He doesn't do anything. She starts messing with him, coming home, making trouble. Still, nothing. Now, the other animals, they notice this. They start to move in. The jackals. Hyenas. Barking at him, laughing at him. They nip his toes and eat the food that's in his domain. They do this and they get closer and closer and bolder and bolder. Till one day, that lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody. Runs like the wind, eats everything in his path. every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is.
Individual. Everything's against us. Governments, money, press, television, all the new forces are used against us. All the great forces, all the material powers of the world, you say are against you. And so they are. You're quite right to feel that. And I don't underrate them, but I don't despair. And you shouldn't despair, because you, like I, have read something of history. You know something of the record and the achievement of the European. And dark as this hour is, it's no darker, it's not as dark as some of the hours you've known in European history. I read when everything but cowardice, treachery, and betrayal. And when the Saracen hordes from far outside Europe swept right across that continent and would have come on over our own Britain too if they hadn't been stopped. And it didn't only happen once, it's happened more than once. Small bands of men came together in resolution, in absolute determination, giving themselves completely and saying Europe shall live. And stood firm and faced the menace to Europe, its values, its civilizations, the glory of its achievement, all those things in mortal danger. And they stood firm, they faced it, they came together, and more rallied to their standards, and those hordes were thrown back again and again and again. And Europe lived in triumph because the will of Europe still endured, of course. But it can happen again. We've got other forces against us. Not those particular forces, but the power of money, the power of press in some hands. All those material forces which governments wield today, far more forces of corruption and oppression than have ever been in the hands of government at all, of, despite all their power of democracy and of freedom as we well know well in our daily political struggle. All those things are against us. But if we can bring together with us enough of people like ourselves, not only in Britain, but as we are doing in other countries of Europe, and gradually that force mounts and gathers strength, my friends, today, just as much as in the past, we can meet the dark forces which in another way threaten our European life with eternal night. We can rally those forces. And in the end, we can prevail and we can triumph. It's been done before and it can be done again. Our task is to do what we are doing. And we began at Venice nearly some 20 months ago as I speak tonight to bring together the best as we saw them, the Europeans, to get them to take decisions together, to decide on the policy which I have described tonight, that they would act and do these things together. First great step. After that, the usual trouble, the difficulty, the struggle to move forward. Always in human affairs, the same story. But willpower, endurance, and above all, faith and belief overcomes all. Nothing matters so much as awakening our own people. Hard as I labor in other lands with other friends and comrades of ours into this immense concern, which is going to be Europe and is going to save mankind. My friends, it's an immense responsibility. You're living in a historic hour. Do remember that always. Live in that sense, I beg of you, of history and of destiny. When this period comes to be written, and men look back at, if we did right, if we stood firm, if we stood greatly, it will be a matter of honor and of veneration for generations to come. I could not ask to live at any other moment of history than this, because never has mankind, never has the human species been confronted with such possibilities, with such choices of disaster or of greater heights and greater glory. My friends, do live in that sense that you are Englishmen, that you are European, that you come from people who face tremendous odds again and again, that much is against you, but you've got within you that will, that spirit above all, that faith and that belief, which will lead the generations to come and look back at you in the pages of history with the proud words, to England, to Britain, to Europe, they were true.
Something on y'all that a lot of people ain't gonna like when they hear what I'm about to say. But there's a man who these people convinced us was a madman. These people that I'm talking about told us that this man was a satanic agent. He was a mass murderer. And we believed it because they said so. Everybody say this: when you control literature, you control what people think. These illegitimate people called Jews convinced the world that a man named Adolf Hitler was a madman. And we all grew up, that's right, understanding that Hitler was a tyrant, that he was a madman. But I'm going to be honest with you. After doing some research on this, I found out, and this is my opinion, that it was these liars and deceivers. Adolf Hitler was trying to cleanse the world of. That's just my little humble opinion. Now I know a lot of folks who hear this ain't gonna like what I'm saying. I really don't give a damn. My job is to tell you the truth, like it or not. If you don't like it, do what you feel you gotta do, but I'm gonna tell it. But when I stand before the Creator, I'm going to hold my head up high and say, I open the eyes of the blind by telling them the truth that they didn't want told.
Thank you. greatest friend is the USSR. He's known around from near and far. That actor man with the big cigar. He pops away every night and day with a twinkle in his eye. And all the while, behind that smile lurks many an untold lie. Down Whitehall way, you'll see his car. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere, the friend of the USSR. V stands for Vanquish. It's the slogan of his land. And he'll fight until it's finished, and there's no one left to stand. He'll keep the red flag flying, though hammered black and blue. For he's getting more than he bargained for, that fat friend of the Jew. So keep your chins up, one and all, and remember what I say. If Britons were to Britain through, they'd send that man away. Who is that man with the big cigar? He's here, he's there, he's everywhere, that man with the big cigar.